Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. 3 weeks from tonight, high school football in mid-Michigan, and I want to welcome in my co-host, the Jack and Tom Show, tomorrow morning, 8 to 11, Tom Crawford. Hello, Tom.
How you doing tonight, Jack?
3 weeks away. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready for it all. I'm ready for high school football. I'm ready for college. I'm ready for NFL preseason. Bring it. And with a little nip in the air, a little northwest wind, low humidity, in the 70s, I'm feeling football today, Jack.
Now, the East Lansing Trojans, your favorite football program, they have their traditional opener with Hazlitt.
Yeah, that's 3 weeks from tonight. They had their big physical testing today. They had running and everything, and then my son and a few of his teammates went out tubing today at Lake Lansing, the last hurrah of summer before they get down and dirty on Monday with two-a-days when I hear it's going to be about 89 degrees, so buckle your chin strap.
Where is that first game? Is that at East Lansing or Hazlitt?
No, it's at Hazlitt, and I believe that Hazlitt's going to be unveiling their new uniforms and renaming the name of their field after their athletic director. So it's going to be a big night, and we're looking forward to it.
So that means that the game won't have to be played at the East Lansing fields that have caused so much consternation, including from Charlie Otluski.
Yeah, he called it a cow pasture. It's not a cow pasture now, though. As much as Art Brandstetter and myself had pushed a drive to procure enough money for artificial surface, East Lansing has opted to go, at least for the next couple of years, to natural turf for rehabilitation with Trey Rogers, the guru of grass. So it looks pretty good. I was out there last night, Jack. So for the four varsity home games, they're going to have a pretty good track for East Lansing football.
Well, Trey Rogers does great work. I've never seen a bad field that he's supervised, and I'm sure that'll be a big improvement at East Lansing. You talked about college football, Tom, and USA Today announcing its first coaches poll of 2010, and four Big Ten teams in the top 15, the only conference that has four of the top 15.
And I assume one of those four is not the University of Michigan.
We said the top 15, not the top 50.
You remember how I used to embrace those preseason polls,
yeah.
Jack, back 2 years prior in the glory days, so to speak. I've been literally ignoring them. As we head into the 2010 campaign, as you always say, that they're meaningless. And what happens on the field is what counts, and that's what I'm banking on beginning on September 4th when they take on the UConn Huskies.
Scott,
Tom, Central Michigan even had one vote. I don't know what coach was that delusional, but they did receive one.
Oh my word! Well, you're talking winning eight games overall in the last 2 years, and a handful of Big Ten games. They get no respect, and now you hear more rumblings about Rich Rod, West Virginia, with their study or whatever their investigation, if you will, on some violations that they're going to have to deal with, and Rich Rod is linked to those. So the Michigan's got up here in front of the NCAA, I think, a week from tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to be a challenging time for Michigan. He's under the radar. And we'll see what happens. That's all I can say. We'll see what happens and evaluate from there.
Well, you say eight wins over the past 2 years. You have them winning more games than that this year alone.
Well, you know me, Jack, delusional, especially when it comes to Michigan. And, there should be enough talent there to win, eight or nine games. I think they can get it done. I'm hoping for it. I mean, he's got to get it done or he's going to be gone. I mean, I think this is a culmination year, Jack. And I also think Mark D'Antonio is going to be a little bit under the microscope as well in his fourth year with that program.
Well, I think Michigan State getting also received votes mention did not crack the top 25 of this poll, but with the schedule being as it is, I think that a lot of Michigan State fans are looking forward to big things and ratcheting up the expectations. And I expect Michigan State to win 9 football games. I said I thought Michigan would win 7, and that's 2 more than one of our guests tomorrow, Angelique Shingelis.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how Angelique, what her latest viewpoint is on Michigan football. She's been kind of, not saying negative, but, you know, maybe a realist more so than, much more than me. So it'll be interesting to see what she says. That defense, though, Jack, I mean, that thing that's glaring, the way they've been performing so poorly the last couple of years, even the last year, you know, of Lloyd Carr's regime in 2008, very porous defense, and they got to shore that up. And with Greg Robinson, finally 2 years in a row with the same D coordinator, maybe that will help the cause.
Ohio State ranks 2nd in this poll, Iowa 10th. Amazing how Iowa has finished in the top 8 in the polls 4 times since 2002. Wisconsin number 12, Penn State number 14. All those teams appear on Michigan's schedule, correct?
Yeah, they play them all, and you know, they get Penn State on the road on a Saturday night. I think that's October the 30th. That'll be tough. And they got the Bucks on the road. Iowa is at home on homecoming, October, you know, 16th. I'm trying to think when Wisconsin fits in there, but it'll be challenging. Although there's some winnable games, and you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, Michigan State, I always accuse Sparty fans of not having that high expectation, but I think they're expecting that 9 wins that you just threw out there. And if they fall short of that, you know, there's going to be maybe a tad disgruntlement, but I think Antonio can work there as long as he wants to work there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how Michigan responds for that Iowa game coming off the big loss to Michigan State.
Well, you know, either way, Jack, that you're playing that game, I can remember in 1985, Michigan had a big win up in East Lansing, mm-hmm. Against Michigan State when Harbaugh was a junior, and 31-0. They go to Iowa City, and they're ranked number 2 in the nation. They lost that Rob Houtland field goal. You remember that one. The next week, it's tough to play Michigan State and Iowa back-to-back. Michigan State, very physical football team, especially when they play Michigan and Iowa, is always physical. So, you know, I think the pounding of those two games takes its toll.
In 1990, when Michigan lost to Michigan State, didn't they have a game with Iowa right after that?
Yeah, and very, you know, another good example, 24-23, they lost that one-point game, and that was a great Michigan team. That, you know, they ended up 7th in the nation with a 9-3 record. They ended up 7th in the nation. They blew out Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. They finished really strong to beat Ohio State and Columbus, but, you know, that tear-jerking loss, the Desmond Howard, you know, the Eddie Brown assassination of Desmond Howard in the end zone, we've covered that many, many times. I mean, that was a great team, and then they could not recover, and they lost a one-pointer to the Hawkeyes the following week, and that was a homecoming game. So it was it's a tough match when you got those two schools back-to-back.
Well, you got the same scenario, Michigan State, and then your homecoming game. Is that your homecoming game with Iowa?
On the 16th, they got fraternity brothers will come back. I told them, hey, listen, some of them haven't been back in a while, so don't expect a W out of this one. We'll just have to drown our sorrows, perhaps, after the Iowa game.
You know, it's interesting. You were at Comerica Park recently for a Tigers game, and I'm going to make that pilgrimage tomorrow night.
Oh, you are?
Meeting some buddies, and after that, I don't know how much baseball I'm going to watch, Tom.
Oh, I mean, isn't this amazing how, I mean, we all anticipated this drop-off, but we're talking about 9 games out, you know, a couple below 500. I mean, Lynn Henning was a little too kind in his estimation of how far south this team would go, although I don't think he anticipated the injury factor coming into play here. And but I'll tell you what, Tiger fans will continue to show up. They always do. And it's a great environment, as I talked about last week. I love going to Comerica. I'm sure you'll have a great time.
Well, we know that a lot of our listeners will show up tomorrow morning, and they're going to hear Mike Chappelle, who is really a hero in the 2000 National Championship game. And we're going to ask him to compare Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo and talk about basketball overseas. and as well as reminiscing about that game against Florida. We also have a guy that played for the University of Michigan back when you first started watching games, and that's Barry DeLynn, Dr. Barry DeLynn. And I had an encounter with him this week, and he was performing a procedure for me, and he's going to join us and talk a little bit about Bump Elliott and the way things used to be pre-Schembechler. So going back a ways, he was at the Rose Bowl, of course, and back up to Mel Anthony and New Year's Day in 1965 when Michigan defeated Oregon State, and that was a great Michigan team, nearly won a national championship.
I know. They ended up fourth in the nation. They had a tear-jerking loss to Purdue. Purdue was a nemesis there for a few years in a row, if I'm not mistaken, and when Bob Greasy was playing. So, yeah, that'll be great. And then we had Angelique Shengelis, the Angel of the Big House, talking Michigan football. And John Johnson, Michigan High School Athletic Association, with football starting all the high school sports. We're going to talk about some of the issues that are going on in high school athletics on the brink of everybody buckling their chin straps on Monday.
You know, you mentioned Purdue being a nemesis for Michigan, and those 3 years with Bob Greasy, never lost to Michigan. And last year's game that Purdue won in Michigan Stadium was the first time that Purdue had won in Ann Arbor in 43 years.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, once again, that was another one of those. It hasn't been since, you know, that's the start of the statement as you describe another Michigan loss these last 2 years. And, yeah, that was a tough loss for Purdue. Michigan should have won that game. Should have won a couple of these games in the last 2 years in a Rich Rod. They could have flipped that thing around a little bit. But he's got to get it done. This year, and it'd be interesting to talk to an ex-Michigan football player about that, because they have a special sense of ownership over that program, everyone you talk to.
Exactly. Well, we look forward to that, Tom, and we will see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., and we invite everyone to join us. If you cannot listen on your radio, you can pick us up on listening live at 1320WILS.com, or you can catch any of those interview segments or any of our banter or any of the segments today. You can catch all of those at 1320WILS.com. So we will see you in the morning.
Okay, Jack. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We will be right back with our final segment. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320WILS.